Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. Just like the Crystal Palace squad, we're all getting older with no young blood coming through. Today with me I have Lord Dale Optus Quarty. How are you, Dale?
Are we Exiled Eagles or the Exiled Eagles?
Who gives a rat's?
Anyway, it's the Optus Exiled Eagles, isn't it?
Oh, mate. We'll talk about Optus at the end. It's not good news.
Ooh. Hold on. What? This is
Fox Sports coming with a better bid, mate.
We'll get to it later. Anyway, I'm good. Nice to see you all.
All right.
I'm nervous now.
Bit of sizzle.
I'm nervous. I don't want you to lose your job because of us. Don't lose your job because of us.
I'll try not to.
And we go up north to our naked Marky Mark. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm good, yeah. Bit hot up here today, hence the no shirt, but the video's not working at my end, so unfortunately I've just got some still shots of you guys on screen, and you can behold my upper body beauty in all its glory.
Good, so is my double...
I'm sorry.
You've got a nice picture of my double chin going then?
Tit for tat, mate. Love it.
And Ned Rock the Nostrils, how are you?
Not too bad, mate. Opposite of Mark. A bit chilly down here. This has rained for the last 2 days. I'm rugged up in a jumper and pants and hoping for some of Mark's heat.
Awesome. It's pleasing to see that you still haven't moved your pervert camera. So as long as it stays
there. The cords don't get any longer, mate. The cord hasn't gotten any longer.
No, there's always the option to buy a new one. Just saying.
Well, we don't get paid enough on this pod, Rob. Dale takes all the budget.
That's true. But if you want to get off that sex offenders list, I suggest buying a new one.
And let's hope that gets cut out of the pod.
Is it that easy?
So what? All right, guys. Look, we haven't podded since last time, which was probably around about start of January, when we actually had someone that would do what they're talking about in Dave's show, which was very good. So a fair bit has happened.
Most of it not happened.
Well, or not happen, it's not been great. So look, everyone else has spoken about it. Let's start off with the long since closed transfer window, which might as well have never opened for us. What on earth happened? I mean, we're football fans, we're people, two of us are English, so we love to blame and complain somewhere. Who can we blame? Who should we blame? What has happened? Christ, I mean, I'm going to throw it open. Whoever wants to go first, because... My lord.
I'll go. Look, I think it's simple, right? We're not necessarily the most attractive option. We don't really have any money. Before you came on, Rob, we were having a chat about the FFP situation. Our books barely balance. We know that. And we're generally slow to act. So, you know, if you're shopping at the top table and everyone's done their business, you're only going to get left the dregs. Do we want to be getting in the dregs? Are they actually going to make us any better? No. Cenk Tosun looks like he's going to be okay, but lo and behold, he picked up an injury. Outside of that, yeah, we needed a right back. Probably didn't really need a left back because PVA and Schlupp are coming back. We didn't buy Ferguson. I've got no issue with that if he's got an injury. Bowen obviously wanted the cash. Was it Bowen? Is that the guy from Hull? Yeah, he wanted the cash, so boo him off. No issue there. We don't need any more mercenaries. If they're not out there, they're not out there. But it is a sad state of affairs.
You say if they're not out there, they're not out there. And I 100% agree, but they are out there. Every other club is picking them up. We seem not to be.
Not every other club. About,
I'm talking in the summer as well. No, it's not just a January thing. In the summer as well.
Like, I know.
We'll come to all that shit in a minute. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying with the guys. You know, we're dying at the top. Saying we've got to get a certain standard player. Of course, I understand we've been unlucky with that. Was it Kwame? Is that how you say the guy that got injured? I understand got unlucky there. With Ferguson, I mean, I don't know what's gone on, but you know what? We signed. He's 19. We sign him now. We know he's got potential. What's the problem? We've got a right back for next season. We currently still don't have one for next season.
But he's injured. But he's going to need surgery.
I understand.
So you don't know how. You'd rather see how he comes back from injury and say, right, we have first refusal.
But I guarantee we won't have first refusal.
Yeah.
And but, would but you want to come to us? Not.
But I'm just saying, that's what you'd rather do. I'd rather that than we buy someone. And then, you know, what we buy him, he gets injured up, goes for surgery after two games. And what do you say in the next pod? Why the hell do we buy him if we knew he was carrying an injury?
Some people would personally, and not just say, I don't think I would, because like, I could see the upside to that signing. But that's a whole different thing. So, Marky Mark.
Yeah, it was... well, it was just Groundhog Day again, wasn't it? Not a lot of movement. Toss and done early on, which was good bit of business. And, you know, first full start, bangs one in, picks up an injury probably at a good time. Couldn't play against Everton anyway, and then the winter break. So things were promising at the start, and then just the wheels slowly but surely fell off, as they seem to do. Is it the guy in Ligue 1 that... did his knee, someone then Ferguson come in, you know, 11th hour injury picked up. I'm hearing, whether it's parallel to what you said, Dale, with first choice of refusal, but sort of a Guaita-like approach where we're sending back to the club but are keen to talk once that's remedied. So that's probably something on a back burner. Not helping us now, though. And then apart from that, yeah, bum one of the coin. And what it appears to me is we're just not a desired club at all.
Mm-hmm,
like, I'm sure if someone wanted to come to us, you know, like a good championship player or from Spain, someone, you know, sort of mid-table or something, well, wouldn't you want to come to the Premier League, live in London and come to Palace where if you're remotely talented, you're probably going to fucking shine and... I just get the vibe, maybe apart from Norwich, we're the least desirable club in the Premier League and probably least desirable than a good half a dozen championship teams. If I'm honest, that's the vibe I get.
I don't disagree with that, and we'll come to my opinions later on that. What about you, Great Southern Star?
Well, I think that we've all just glossed over the fantastic news. We've got another Australian back at Palace from the transfer window.
Of course.
We've signed ourselves a giant 6 foot 73 centre back who will never play for the first team, who is currently captaining our very, very unsuccessful under 23s.
Ned, no, I'd never heard Ned, of it, that was but... the weirdest signing ever. So he announced it, and whoever we signed him from, who was it?
Welling.
They announced that he had been signed by Crystal Palace. And then 2 weeks later, he's playing for us as a trialist.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how that transfer worked out.
And now he's the captain of the under-23s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no idea. For those who are listening, his name is, and I've got it up here because he's obviously very well known and I knew it off the top of my head and I'm not reading it at all, J. Rich Baghulu. Marky's from Gold Coast, so he's practically your neighbour. Apparently his brother's playing over there somewhere still.
I was
apparently in your youth team.
Gold Coast born and bred, mate.
His brother's apparently in your Brisbane youth team.
Yeah. He was signed up here with the Brisbane youth team, played for Gold Coast United as well. I'm a Gold Coast boy, born and bred before moving to Brisbane. Apparently has a younger brother, Jay, I believe, who's also fairly handy. And, I had no idea he was Australian or a Queenslander or from the Gold Coast. So long may his... dizzying heights of obscurity in the under-23s continue.
Is the secret player Richard El Baghouli?
Who?
That guy. The one we just said.
Rich Baghulu.
Yeah, him. Is he the secret player for later?
I hope not. Not from me. I think I've ruined Rob's game already. That's all right. It's always fun.
My two options of Kyle Vert and Jay Rich Baghouli have already been guessed.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Perfect. Well, I've nailed that one straight off the bat, so I'm quite happy with that. I think it just says enough about our transfer policy, though, the fact that probably the best bit of discussion we've had so far on it has involved a bloke that none of us have ever heard of playing in our under-23s, having come from Welling, and even the club didn't announce it. So I think that basically sums up my thoughts on our transfer period. Over to you, Rob.
I can't disagree with anything you said. I think it's absolute. I mean, it's nothing short of criminal. We've been here before.
Yeah.
We've been here before when we were Pardew. We were flying, didn't do anything in January, fell down the league. We are doing exactly the same thing. I mean, it's embarrassing. How many clubs go broke twice in 10 years? One. Crystal Palace Football Club. How many clubs twice in 3 years or 4 years go do start off really well, don't buy anyone in January and just fall down the leagues? I know of one. Crystal Palace Football Club. I mean, why don't we learn?
Don't know.
We're still struggling. We're still suffering from buying Benteke and Sacco. And probably, to a certain extent, PVA and Schluck. We had our pants pulled down with those signings, paid over the odds. And maybe Milivojevic, but he was probably be worth it. The other ones, we're paying over 100 grand a week and have paid over 25 million for players who Liverpool are trying to get rid of.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Is you look at it and you sort of go, well, the you know, our wages are so high that, I mean, the reason we can't afford any transfer fees is because we blow all the money just on a weekly basis. If you look at our wage bill compared to half the other teams in the league, we're well and truly in the top 10 of wages.
21st in Europe, mate.
Yeah.
21st in the whole of Europe.
Which is just ridiculous, considering the talent we've got out on the park. You compare that to, say, you know, a Sheffield United or even who are absolutely flying. I mean, obviously they're an anomaly, but I mean, even compared to sort of, you know, half the teams around us, they're paying, you know, you sit there and you go, if they've got two players on 60 grand a week, they're going, well, geez, they're superstars. And we've got, you know, £300,000 of wages sitting on the bench every week.
Yeah, so I hear that. I mean, Sacco, I mean, fantastic player, but if you go pound for pound, he's probably been a fair, apart from keeping us up or that year he came on loan, he hasn't been worth the money. I 100% give you that. Benteke has proven not to be worth the money, but I'll caveat that by saying we don't play to Benteke's strength. We are set up not to basically not let him score. Yeah. If we had wingers crossing the ball in, I would guarantee you would get 10, 11 goals a season from him. Guaranteed. It's been proven over years. So us saying that we wasted money on Benteke is not entirely his fault, I would say.
I'd agree with that.
There are mitigating factors with that. I'm not turning around saying we've got value for money for him. Absolutely not. And yes, we're spending a ton of money. We should expect more from him. But I feel that we would have got more had we built a team around a £30 million striker that scored 17 goals in one season.
Absolutely. No, I agree completely with all that, which I feel really weird saying.
Exactly. Me and you hug it out at one point, Ned. Hobart 2020. There you go.
Why don't we just all take our shirts off right now then?
Nope.
That's it. Thank you, Mark. You don't want to see what flops out when I take this shirt off.
Oh, Jesus.
Just floss all over
that. That's why I get a player fit. Player fit keeps it all in.
There's two bits I've got to cut from the pod already.
The
edit
point. Just listening to, obviously we're not going to really bring anything new to the table other than our erratic opinions on the transfer window and that sort of thing, but you know, Groundhog Day, I think Dale, you posted, or ex-host of this parish, Tony King, a comment made about the transfer window that was 4 years old or something from Facebook. Exactly rings true. Could have just posted it, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Bang on the money. And listening to some other pods and transfer news, I think I heard on one out the last, was it the last five or six windows, 16 Championship clubs have spent more money than Palace. That's mental. I mean, I'm not saying just open the wallet and magic happens. Absolutely not. And I love a good bit of savvy business, but that was pretty telling to me. Like 16 Championship clubs, and we've been in what, Premier League for the last 7 years odd now or something? Like, come on.
All the wages.
I reckon.
It's just all the wages.
It'll be a one in, one out scenario. So we will only get a player in to replace someone else.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford it otherwise.
My concerns with that will come later, but I honestly reckon that I've spent more getting to and from work this year than Palace has spent over the past 2 years. It's ridiculous. All right, we can keep talking about that forever, boys, but let's move on because we're probably going to bore people because they've probably heard a number of podcasts about that.
Can we, before we move on, I don't think we'll get to Germany later at the show, looking at the run sheet, can we discuss the absolute travesty of the Sherlock business?
Yep. Well,
What the fuck is going on there?
I think you pretty much summed it up there. To be honest, Mark, I think that's basically what everyone else is thinking, and move on.
If anyone thinks Mark swore that he didn't swear, that's F-U-Q. F-U-Q. Fuck, not the naughty word, so it's fine.
Look, I think we saw a lot. We all sat there and watched the games, and no one rated him, which is fine.
He was terrible.
Yeah, which is absolutely fine. Ship him off on loan. It's the right thing to ship him off on loan, because if he develops, brilliant. If he doesn't, you can get rid of him. But my God, do not ship someone off for less than what you paid for him, and then have to sit there and hear that other teams want him and are prepared to pay double the price, but then pay it to the other team who got him on loan.
Oh, no. Have you seen the list of people that went to watch him? So he's been scouted by Monaco, Brighton, Newcastle, Villa.
Villa.
Every right, couple. I think we went over to try and buy him back at twice the price.
imagine if he turns up in a Tesco's Brighton shirt. Just imagine it.
I don't think
he'll have better suitors than Brighton. But again, that's a classic case in point that he might not be any good. He still might not. But he's a player that's been given a run of games. They've had a club believe in him. They've played to his strengths, and the geezer has scored 22 goals. He may never be hit in the Premier League, but it's been pointed out that Cenk Tosun was scoring goals in Turkey.
Exactly.
And, I don't think he was scoring many goals in Turkey.
No, he weren't, and so he's obviously got something about him. The thing that annoys me as well about the whole scenario, not only is that undoubtedly the worst deal in football history, which is quite some feat we've got there. Actually, maybe the Ibrahimovic-Eto'o swap that Barca did with Inter, and then gave Inter also like 50 million as well. That's up there, but the fact that Sordoff was running around in the same league as Haaland at the same time, whilst we were scouting them, and the geniuses that were signed Sordot.
Mate, I don't think anyone, like Haaland, no one saw this coming.
Nah, he's rubbish.
No one saw
this. He's rubbish.
Mate.
Well,
this is, I mean, if you got Haaland.
maybe not this good, but
this is this luck, mate. That was luck. That, I'll be honest, that could as easily been Sordot.
But he is now.
Sorloth's still got better hair, though.
Yeah. Sorloth's a much better looking player.
That jawline, Jesus.
But yes, not.
But the thing, like the main thing, obviously, apart from the tremendous gaffe of, having the buying option or first dibs after the twos, if he plays X amount of games, 50% of the games. Now, I'm not sure the fine print, but for the life of me, even the stupidest person would have gone, okay, yep, we'll do a two-year loan. Yep, we can have first divs. Maybe just put an asterisk down the bottom, your purchase price, we've got to recoup the money. So that's got to be at least what we spent on him if they're keen to buy. If not, he comes home. So if we're buying, that's your starting point. Then from there we go, okay, so that was, what was he, £9 million? So that's what you're going to pay us. If he scores 15 to 20 goals, that's 15 million quid. If he scores 20 to 25 goals, you know what I mean? And just have a sliding scale that surely no one is going to refute, because they'd be like, fuck, if this prick's knocking in 20, 25 goals, yeah, we'll give you 20 million quid, no problem at all. Like, why wouldn't you? And if he's not, well, we don't have to cross that bridge. Nah, we don't put that in there. No sell-on clause. So, like, it's just, honestly, the biggest idiot would have put a couple of those things in that wouldn't have hampered the deal at all, and just would have put money in everyone's pockets or ball in net. Nah, not Palace. Yeah, whatever you think's a good thing after 2 years, that's fine.
I just got the best mental image of like there being a massively detailed football contract with like an asterisk at the bottom saying, by the way, PTO. Someone turns over the page and then there's that little thing like you're doing.
What's this shit on the back? Just read it. I'll take a minute. Just read it.
Can't recall the guy. Like,
I mean, it's incredible.
I can deal with not being able to recall it.
Absolute madness.
No bollocks. Why?
Huh?
So as what happened, Benteke was injured, Wickham was injured, IU got injured, and we've got injured, right? Say all four.
Yeah, but
those
if they've paid a fee,
we didn't have the.
Then I think fair enough.
Everyone pays a loan fee. Every bastard, the dog pays a loan fee.
Yeah.
But you, look, the clubs will put in there, we can recall the player. It's our, they're our player. At the end of the day, we can recall them.
Yeah, but not usually. If there's a big loan fee that's being paid initially, it's not always that easy, because you get a case.
Mate,
of,
I reckon if you pay for this loan fee, you can't call someone back
and then be like, by the way, you still got to pay us money. You've already paid us, so you've paid us $5 million, but stiff shit, you know, we're taking him back as well. Otherwise, everyone would just send players out on loan for loan fees and then recall them and loan them out to someone else and just make millions and millions of pounds all over the place.
Yeah. We just put another double asterisk in this one. You put the double asterisk in saying if we have an injury crisis, then we reserve the right to call him back. And I reckon they only pay 25 cents in a pack of Watsits for him anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get away with that with another asterisk, so easy.
That's it. All right, let's move on. But well, good one to bring up, Mark. Like, well remembered.
Thanks, mate. Well, had to get a mention.
Yeah, no, it did, because Jesus, I mean... We've signed three players since we've been up that we didn't even use. Yeah, and now we're giving away players that we can't even get back. What a club.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So we haven't won this decade, I don't believe, have we, fellas?
That's just us and Brighton.
Nope. Nor Brighton.
Superb.
So we should, and that's it for the 96 teams,
so look, we've got a stunning point against Man City since we last spoken. An absolutely incredible point.
Yeah.
Well, how do we think the rest of it's gone, really, since we last potted? Go on, Ned. You start us off.
Oh, I think we nearly won a game, and then we nearly won another game against Arsenal and City, and then we've not got anywhere near looking like a football club against Southampton, Sheffield United, and Everton, who are obviously powerhouses of the division. So I think you know, you've got to look at sort of where we're at, and yeah we sort of had that fairly strong start. Would have been probably a little bit nicer to sort of be able to at least look competitive against some of the weaker sides. I know Rob's going to rant later about us not attacking and blah blah blah, but it would be nice sometimes to sort of go, well, maybe we should try and score a goal and just see what happens. It's tough to watch someone like a Wilf sit there playing it, you know, mostly either left back or right back, depending on which side we decide we want to play two fullbacks on. Usually both. But, so you sort of sit there and go, well, of course he can't run at players, he can't have sort of the impact that we want him to, because he's stuck at the wrong end of the pitch. We're throwing either a Tosin or a Benteke or an Ai or whoever it is that we want not to score up by themselves up top. And it just sort of, you know, it gets a bit frustrating to watch. As I said, we've got a run of games. We've still got another three games coming up that are fairly friendly, or four games coming up that are fairly friendly. We'll probably lose all of those and beat Liverpool after that. So, look, it's Palace. I mean, what can you say? Who knows what's coming this week? Maybe it's a 1-0 loss. That's maybe we win 6-0.
That's the most negative I've heard you so far, Ned. Maybe you're coming round to the Robert Seltzer way of thinking.
We're beating Liverpool 4-0, just so you know.
You're right. Okay, cool. Let's move quickly on. You might as well cut that from the pod as well, otherwise you look like a right dickhead. What are your thoughts, Dale?
It's not been very good, is it? And in each of the three games, we've seen a player play against us who haven't been the best players on the pitch in terms of who their name, but they're players who we all hate, but if they're in our side, we'll love them. And I'll start with Ward-Prowse. But everyone's having a go because of how he chips at Wilf. He chips away, chips away, chips away. He's smart. Watford do it. They're smart. Get into him. We know he won't play. And you know what? If Ward-Prowse played for us, maybe if one of our players chipped away at some of the opposition like that, we'd be in a better place. Then we had Sheffield United. And I mean, that's Sander Berg who made his debut. I don't think anyone's made this point on anything else I've heard. The guy looked like a character you make yourself on FIFA. He was huge. What a presence. And not being funny, he was clearing balls off the line. He was having shots. He was everywhere. You know, again, Sheffield United have got him. Why the hell aren't we getting him, someone like that? Why aren't our players? Why aren't Cheku Kiyote stepping up like that. I know it's hard when he's on the bench, but you know what I mean? These are the players who should be stepping up for us. And in the Everton game, I mean, Richarlison, he made Gary Cahill, who's been arguably one of our players this season, look stupid. Between him and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I mean, that's how strikers should play. Look at them, playing with pace and being direct, unlike us, who we've got Ayew, Benteke, Wilf, Andros. We can go at teams. We've done it. We can go at teams, and we don't do it. And I think that's got to be the most disappointing thing about the last three games, isn't the fact that we lost, because you can take losing. You know, we can take it if you lost. But we've lost because we haven't really been very good, and that's what's hurt me about it.
Before I let Mark jump in, I will have to disagree with you. Look, Ward-Prowse, yes, smart, chippy. Watford aren't smart. Watford are just fucking dirty, outright dirty.
Yeah, they are. Mate,
It's understandable though. Ward-Prowse does his thing. He's in his ear and he's winding him up and he knows he can wind him up. But what Watford do isn't football. I won't have that as clever at all.
It is dirty. It is completely dirty. But do you know what? They're getting away with it, right?
And which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. But do you know what? They're doing it. Whereas we said this last year on a pod when against the Brighton game, when Knockhart put in that tackle and nobody went and harangued the ref, nobody went and backed up the player. Do you know what I mean? We don't do any of that stuff. And part of me thinks that's in Roy's own image. And I don't want to be the club where it has 11 players running around the ref screaming at him. But at the same time, we've got to show a bit of mongrel and a bit of fight. Because at the moment, we're just going out down. We're going to go down with a whimper if we're not careful.
100%. What do you want to add there, Mark?
Probably not much more than what's been said. It was a nice point that we jagged against Arsenal. Ayew's last goal for the club to bring us back to get a point out of that. Resolute against City, and everyone knew what they were doing, and you know we led that game for a half of football, essentially. Then went behind and showed some composure and fight to come back and jag a point, which was great, and then proceeded to just throw it all out the window after that. Lucas form waving, got suspended. Southampton were just terrible. Poor old Vinny literally dropped the ball against the Blades there and cost us. But let's face it, without his heroic season, we do not have the points that we've got currently. Everton game, that was off the back of a double header for me and a few of the lads. We had... That was the early game, obviously, here at 10:30. We had Raw that afternoon, so drink had been taken. And
are you suggesting your memory of the
all
game?
I really remember all I remember is Ben Teke scoring and me standing on the table punching the roof. and I think he hit the post one other time or something. So, yeah, I mean, the one he did get, I think, was the weakest of his cracks at goal for the game. And, look, I'm glad he got back on the score sheet. That's good. Might give him a little bit of confidence, although that seemed to disappear, ironically, in that same game. I don't know where we go from here. Like, we've got, you know, Newcastle and Brighton and a couple coming up that we could easily win. I don't see it. I don't know what Palace turns up week in, week out now. Well, I do know what turns up. It turns up the same that's turned up the last 5 or 6 weeks, at least personnel-wise. Any manager who's penciling in a plan of attack against us can throw his crystal ball in the bin because he knows exactly what he's going to get. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's a bit of a shame. We've got some good talent there with you know, the Everton game, the substitutes there. We're not great. I've looked at them post-fact, obviously, and, you know, I was copping it off Roy when he wasn't making subs and says, you know, Trundle's out, I'm not going to bring on players that can't change a game or are not better quality or even equal quality than the guys on the park. I mean, he's got Kiato on the bench, Townsend on the bench, Meyer on the bench, we're chasing the game, and, you know, it doesn't add up, so I don't know, And Campola Willis and the transfers and everything else, the biggest gripe I have with all of this, and we're all sort of pulling our hair out and voicing opinions about Palace lately, is the club say nothing. absolute radio silence from the club on all fronts. What's happening with the new stands? What's happening with transfers? Like, we're just getting drip fed the minimum.
Newsstand. I told you that newsstand was not going to happen. Mate, come on.
They just tell us nothing, you know. Like, I went on their page the other day and they've, you know, hit on the news and it brings up all the news. I think it was the 11th or 12th story that had any relation to the first team. Yeah. That's on the app. Yeah, that's on the page.
But the under-23 got a point the other day, huh? That's huge. Yeah, we've only got about three or six.
The women's, the boot cleaner for the under-18s at his 10th wedding anniversary, all this sort
Mate,
of bullshit.
We did it putting out and then right on down the media, bottom, though, weren't we?
That's it.
Right down the bottom is, something about bloody Luca or first team related or something. And even that, like, spoke volumes to me. So, I don't know. I think there's a lot going on, boys, behind the scenes that we just don't know and we're not privy to. And, you know, I don't know if Parrish and these Americans are just running the club as a tax dodge and Roy's just filling his boots and giving a hymn sheet to sing along to and... That's just how it's going
to
stay.
Just to confirm, Mark, are you suggesting that at 2-1 down against Everton, with Andros Townsend on the bench, that bringing on Cheku Kiyate or holding midfield wasn't the right decision?
Looking at it, I'm the last bloke you want to ask about tactics or managerial football, but yes.
All right, I'll say it, fellas. It's been diabolical. Absolutely diabolical. Yep. The point against City was fantastic, brilliant. Immense, and we waxed lyrical, and I've been there, and I've said that I'm on record. I think the same Roy was doing a fantastic job way back when. But we play, and Mark, you said it. Your point was exactly. Clubs pay a lot, managers a lot of money, and managers pay scouting teams and analysts a lot of money to prepare for the next game. If we're the next game, those guys can have a week off, because nothing changes. So we play a team like City who we have to put 17 men behind the ball to get any chance of a point. No problem. We then have Southampton come to us and we play the exact same way. At home with the exact same team. I don't care. That is not good enough. Pure and simple, that is not good enough. You have to go at Southampton. I mean, they were rocky at the back. I mean, look at the chance that Tosin missed. If you watch it back again, when it gets through to Tosin, their defence genuinely stops. They're like, they just give up on it, like, well, he's going to score. They don't even bother to try and get back. What do we do? Well, he misses. It's a crap finish. He misses, and we do nothing else all game. Sheffield United come in. Now, they're fantastic. They were Chris Wilder absolutely guaranteed should be nailed on for manager of the season. He'll go to Klopp because everyone has to wank all over Jurgen Klopp. It should be Chris Wilder.
Did anyone say in the WhatsApp group about 4 years ago that we should get Chris Wilder?
I believe that was Mark.
That's all. Thank you.
I believe that was Marky.
Well done, Mark. Good call.
Exactly.
Thanks, man.
But the way they play football, the way they play is they try and stay in the fight, pick up a goal on the counter attack. All right, they went on. Generally, they didn't look like scoring. It was a complete fuck up from Guaita, and you can give him that one because he's been fantastic all year. They didn't look like scoring. Yep. They didn't look like they were going to try and score after probably the first 15 minutes. So why didn't we have a go,
mate?
I
think you've got to take the Sheffield United game out of it for two reasons. One, it was a mistake that the goal was.
Yeah, from. That's fine.
And the
that's
other
fine.
Thing was. I'm going to say there was a massive leveller in that game, which was...
The wind.
So I will say, win that 1-0, lose that 1-0. I'm going to write it off.
Okay, I'll put one of Mark's famous asterisks next to that one, with the caveat. But still, I don't think it was good enough, pure and simple. Like, Everton, we made chances, that's fine. But again, same exact team, same exact formation, same exact tactics. We are completely negating the best player to ever play for Crystal Palace Football Club, in Wilfred Zaha. He is incredible. He has dug Roy out of a number of holes, and it's just simply not good enough. We don't try anything different. We don't do anything different. We play the exact same way, whether it be Sheffield United at home, whether it be Man City away, whether it be Liverpool away, whether it be Norwich at home. Exact same way. I can think of, off the top of my head, games we didn't even bother trying. Spurs away, Chelsea away, Southampton at home, Watford away. That's four games in a season where you might as well have not even bothered turning up. Playing badly is one thing. Those, we didn't even bother. And that's four games of a season. And that's just off the top of my head without even having to think hard. Not good enough. Absolutely no way. I'm not having it. It's been absolute crap, which will lead me on to the next bit. You're probably guessing my thoughts on the next point. But would you give Roy another year? I will have my impassioned plea at the end, but I will leave it all
to you guys. Go first.
Yeah, go on, mate. Don't lose momentum.
Oh, get in.
It's okay. It makes it easier because I can cut the whole lot one bit.
Here we go. Same old jokes. Always good to
breathe. Have a swig of your drink.
All right. Good idea. Straight vodka. Here we go. All right. The answer is no. We shouldn't.
All right, cool. Thank you, Rob. And
there we go. And yeah, but after all I've just said, then another reason being, would you? I know we didn't sign anyone, but would you trust Roy with 50, 70, 100
million?
He's not
going to get 150, 70, 100 yes. million pounds, so it doesn't matter.
Would you trust him with it? Look at the track record of players he's buying. Now, I think it's pretty public knowledge, not the players that he, the identity of the players we don't probably know, but I think it's pretty public knowledge that he turned down some decent players in the summer, didn't want to sign. He signed James McCarthy, who I think has been a complete waste of time, apart from Man City and West Ham.
I don't think he signed James McCarthy.
I think he did, and he's just playing him. He signed Gary Cahill, which I admit I ate a massive slice of handball pie because I didn't think he'd be this good. I will hold my hands up there. But he signed
Greta.
Greta? Who the hell's Greta?
Greta.
Guaita.
Thunberg.
Signed Guaita.
Did he?
Well, mate, if he's saying he signed James
McCarthy. So just to clarify, Rob, if they're any good, he didn't sign them. If they're any good, he didn't sign them, but if they're terrible, it was someone else.
No, I'm not saying if he did. If he did, fantastic, but I think outfield players, he doesn't want. We won't see a 20, an exciting 21, 22.
Like right?
I want to take it back to the point when Mark said we're the least. Really, he was lucky with Wan-Bissaka, and I would not have anything else. Ward got injured, so Wan-Bissaka came in. He would never have played.
Totally.
He would never have played Wan-Bissaka had he not Ward got injured. And argue with me as much as you want, you know that's true.
He played Brendan Gerrit.
Yep.
Because we had 14 players.
Still played him.
There's a lot of exceptions to this rule.
We can find the one-off cage. Okay, how many other times has Brendan Gerrit got on the pitch? The reason we're not attractive, right, the reason no, would, if you're a young, attacking, exciting player, would you come to Palace under Roy Hodgson?
Are we getting anyone to come
Thank
to
you
us?
Very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very
Silence
much.
Silence is deafening.
Would you come to Palace
Thank
under
you.
Anyone?
I wouldn't. I mean, although we derive him, but Pardew bought in some players that could, like, Pardew signed Kabay.
And Pardew forgot how to defend.
Yeah.
That's and true. We started getting belted every That's, week.
Yeah,
five,
but you know
four.
What? Okay, I take that.
While 4-3 up in the 89th minute.
What a game. That is, by the way, that is some, going back to that is stunning. But, you know, I reckon if Pardew went into the market, we'd be able to sign those, I mean, sign those players would come because they're happy to play for him. He would play Meyer, for example. Camarasa might actually get a look in. He wouldn't play three James MacArthurs, which is literally all we do every week. Roy relies on James McArthur to be box to box, scoring goals, being right back. The answer is no. It's done. He's same old. We can almost name the lineup for Saturday. How are we going to play is going to be the exact same way I've always been playing. It's boring as batshit. If we know what's going to happen, these other guys know what's going to happen. They know how to attack us, which is why we're walking into a relegation battle comfortably. We shouldn't be there. The answer is no. He finish the season, fine, whatever. Christ, don't give him another year.
Mate,
what would we be left with?
We've said it on previous pods, and I think we're just going to say it again. End of the season, he turns around to the club and says, thank you, but I'm off, I'm 72. I don't need...
Please, God.
I don't need the aggro. Yeah, he doesn't need the money. And look, I'm not going to say his name, but you guys know who I bumped into at the weekend. And his exact words were, I don't know why he's there. He doesn't need this aggro. He doesn't need the money. He should just take it out of the club's hands. He should resign at the end of the season. He will have a reputation. Everyone will turn around and say, you've done the best in the club's history. You got us the highest points total, whatever else. thank you very much, and he can disappear off and enjoy his retirement. And I have to think that is the best thing for it.
From that man's mouth to God's ears, that's all I can say. Please, please let that happen. I mean, so would you have him in a short aren't there? Would you have Roy at Palace next year?
I wouldn't, but the reason is because he's 72 years old, and I think that he has a way of playing football that will, as we've said it before, it will keep us up. We won't get relegated of him. Right, it will keep us up.
We might get relegated, apparently.
Mate, we'll be fine. We know we will. Whether we finish 17th or 12th, we're going to be fine. We know that. But it is coming to the time now where you do it now, you know, get a new manager in whilst the club is stable, get some fat off the wage bill, start bringing in some young blood, some fresh players, and go again.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't sack him. I'd let him run out his current contract. I'm not as confident we're in no relegation trouble
not
at all.
Not am I. I'm really not.
I think we're very much in a relegation scrap. And the next, you know, so, oh, it's a six-pointer. We've got about three or four six-pointers coming up, because I don't see us really winning more than two more games for the year. We need 10 points, let's say, the magical 40. I'm very much worried about relegation this season. No one else really seems to be, but I'm certainly looking down the table, not up, and have been for a little bit now. Roy, thank you very much. Shake the hand and try and get someone in for next season with just some new ideas and wanting to take the club forward and that sort of thing. In having that, I don't want a knee-jerk reaction and just get do a silly buy or whatnot. Yep, Roy's 72. Yes, he doesn't need the money. And I think he deserves plaudits for what he's done. You know, you could say he's done a lot of what he has done with one hand tied behind his back. Let's not forget, this guy was your national manager and manager of Liverpool in not too distant memory. He didn't trip and fall into those jobs. They were appointed to him by some brains trust. So he was given those reins. You know, you can say, well, he didn't do much with it, but he was given those reins. Lots of blokes would dream to have either those squads for, you know, 90 minutes. So, you know, Pep doesn't have a job at the moment. What's he doing? Does he want 4 million for a season?
Give it a go. Maybe. What about Ned? Would you have Roy next season?
Well, I mean, as Mark said, I wouldn't sack him. If he leaves, he leaves. I think the main thing for me is that our squad isn't good while we've got those players on huge wages still at the club. It doesn't matter who the manager is. It could be Roy Hodgson, it could be Pep Guardiola. We're going to be very, very similar in terms of personnel. Regards to that, as Dale said, Roy keeps us up, he keeps us safe. We're probably not going to push on too much further with our current squad unless that gets trimmed. I mean, it'd probably be nice to sort of see something a little bit different, but I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to be, you know, horribly disappointed either way. I mean, in terms of not being all that confident in getting out of a relegation battle, we've got 12 games left. We win 2, draw 3, lose 7, and we're safe. If you look at it that way. So, I mean, we're going to pull out 2 bullshit wins. It might be against teams that we'd expect it to be against, but we're Palace. And every time we all get to this stage and go, oh, it's diabolical and everything's terrible, we end up having some miraculous, fantastic win and everyone goes, oh, it's fine again, and slowly slide away back into obscurity and Rob Rant. So, I mean, look, I think, yeah, in terms of Roy, it's very take it or leave it at the moment. Like it's not going to be pretty to watch. It hasn't been pretty to watch for a lot of the season for a while, but it's been fairly comfortable. And I mean, and as I say, unless we can get to a position where we can improve our squad, then I mean, I can't really see whoever comes in. I mean, who's available is the other option. I can't really see, you know, it being
quite different. Fair enough. Who's available? That's a mute point. I think everyone has their price at some point. And like, to be honest with you, it's not our job to know who's available. We should have people out there doing that. You guys are lucky. You got the shortened version of my answer to that one. So count yourselves very lucky. Otherwise, you'd have been. We would have been here to around about 3 o'clock tomorrow morning.
No, you would have been, mate. I would have gone.
Yeah, you would have been. We would have gone. Just keep your microphone running, Rob. Send me the. Send me the.
He's waking up kids and he don't care.
That's it. Fuck it. Bloody right. You didn't get that, you know, entertainment value. All that's crap. You know, there's loads more I can say on it, but we're gonna move. I won't, and I'm probably going to leave the next time. We'll talk. What would you change? But you know, the pretty much the whole hierarchy of the club currently, I'd say we'd have to change from the no one else was going with the owners. I want to change the manager. Let's change everyone. Let's get exiled Eagles in there. I say.
Yeah.
All right, so guys, look, let's get on to FFP. We might as well touch on it. It's been fairly prevalent in the old news recently. And apparently, we are the only club that actually cares about it. So, go on, Dale. You want this on the table?
Have a chat. Ned did.
You? Oh, Ned did. Sorry, apologies. I'll take that back. Take that back. Sorry, Sir Optus. Ned, you want this on the table? Talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just sort of gonna throw it out there. I think in terms, obviously, so City have allegedly been banned for 2 years from the Champions League. They've still got their appeal to go and probably end up being overturned and they'll get a fine and a slap on the wrist and all that sort of stuff. I was just saying to before we started recording, I was saying to Mark and Dale, I mean, the whole concept of, you know, financial fair play is very amusing. The word fair is very amusing. I think with the whole Manchester City thing, just to touch on that first, is you look at it and you go, Manchester, the City Football Group embodies everything that is terrible about modern football in terms of money. However, they didn't start that. They sure as hell aren't the only ones doing it. They might have, you know, been a bit more cocky about it, but they sure as hell aren't the only ones doing it. And I think the thing with the FFP rules is you sit there and you look at it, and I'm more concerned that Palace would get done by the FFP rules than Chelsea or Manchester United, which is just ridiculous. So I think in terms of, yeah, that the sort of City thing, you sort of look at it and go, well, what are these rules here for? It's just to stop clubs breaking into that elite section, because you can only spend money that you make, and you can only make money if you're already big. So if you're not doing it the City way, I don't actually know how you can do it. And so as a smaller club, you sort of look at it and go, well, what's the point? Why are we here? What are we competing for? There's no, you know, even if some super rich billionaire comes in and buys us and tries to, you know, grow us into this super club, you can't get there anyway. So it was just one of those things that I sort of saw and went, it's frustrating. And so you thought, you know, just thought I'd, you know, throw it out there and get some of your thoughts on it.
To be honest, I don't really care about it. I mean, it's there, it's not my money. They're throwing it around. I'm pretty sure the way City Group do it is they spread the costs across all their clubs. So, like, they know Man City is their biggest club, their biggest cash cow, as it were. So you'll find that if they're way over, all of a sudden Melbourne City's wage bill will skyrocket. The club in Spain's wage bill will skyrocket. And the club, well, you know, they've got one on every continent or whatever. All those other club stuff will skyrocket. So it keeps, like, Man City in line. That's kind of their business model was, well, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's not quite how they got in trouble.
No, I know. They buggered it up.
Their owner was throwing money in and saying it's sponsorship when basically it wasn't.
Mm.
But I don't see why the owner can't sponsor him. Yeah, if he's true. Not asking for the money back and he's just going, yeah, have this money, I under no circumstance want it back. It's not a loan. This is yours. Where's the issue?
And this is why when people sit there and say the Americans don't put in any money, this is why they can't, because you can't just chuck in the money anymore. The financial fair play means that someone can't just rock up and say, here's 100 million, now go and spend it on players. Because it can't just be a gift. It has to be business related. So, you know, it should be a concern to us as Palace fans, because that's why we can't spend money, and that's why we can't ship any of these players out, because we basically screwed ourselves with FFP 3 seasons ago under Allardyce. And I'm not having to go at Allardyce. I'm just saying, we're that desperate to stay up that we bought the likes of Renan Holt and Schlupp for too much money and paying them 60,000 a week. Wickham, 60,000 a week. Benteke, 110. Sacco, 120. Wilf, 130 grand a week. Maya, 100 grand a week. FFP has got a big hold of our club.
Yeah, fair enough. Money, eh? Money.
That's Roy's fault. It's Roy's fault, Dave.
Get him out. Get him out. Get him out of the bar.
Most of it.
You've forgotten.
All right, let's move.
Roy out.
Go, do you want to have a chat with Ronnie Mark, or do you want to move on to the Aussie stuff? Where just
quickly, of the smartest things I've probably said about FFP we did prior to the pod when you were putting kids to bed, Rob, to be honest.
Mate, that was a whole pod in itself.
I just want to add, I meant Pochettino before, not Pep. Pep is currently employed for now, anyway. I meant Pochettino for the $4 million that apparently Roy gets a season. But who knows on that front? Financial fair play, yeah. As I said to the boys, most of it's lost on me. Ned, I don't think UEFA or the whoever looks after the books of the Premier League or world football, I don't think they could be asked sending auditors out to Selhurst Park, mate. But good luck to them if they do. And City, the thing that does excite me about it is just potentially opening up a spot to some strugglers to jag a European berth in the next season or two, which was on our cards, that's you true. Know. After 10 or 12 rounds of football for the season.
So Tottenham.
Yeah, West Ham, Everton, you know.
Nah, so. Flows West all the way Ham, down to the Europa League, Dale.
See
yeah,
United.
So, but yeah, I mean that's exciting. That's you know if United managed to do it, what a story. And I'm kind of rooting for them to upset the apple cart and take one of the big boys bus ticket to Europe for next season, why not?
Hey, nice, yeah. I mean, the only thing that I think is ridiculous is the fact that it's a 2-year ban for your owner giving you money, but if you make monkey noises and throw, you know, bananas on the pitch and be racist, then you get 15, you pay 15p and, you know, have a game behind closed doors, something ridiculous. It's just unbelievable.
Don't get me started, mate.
I won't.
I think that's another one we're all in agreement.
Yeah,
Rob.
I mean, it's just
now 2 points for the pod. We've hit the maximum.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, let's move on.
Say something more controversial.
Roy out. all right, let's talk about Australia and stuff. So we'll hand over to you, to Mark and Ned, our resident A-League experts, before I then try and convince you I haven't thought of Carl Wirt. So,
all right. Ned, do you want to start? Your mob's banding about in Asian Champions League glory and defeat of late. Do you want to?
Yeah,
kick it
no.
Off?
So we're being sort of standard terrible at victory. But no, I want to throw open to a part of the country that tends to ignore us both with our podcast and our national meetups. this hurts as a victory fan to sort of ring the praises of a side that. I mean, they're not setting the world on fire, but we can talk about Adelaide United. So, basically, we had Dave on last week, and we had a bit of a chat about some of the younger players coming through in Australia that potentially, you know, hopefully we could start looking at for potential players that we won't sign at Palace. And so, I mean, I threw out like from Adelaide, 22-year-old by the name of Riley McGree, who over the last month has continued to absolutely tear it up. But Adelaide, just as a club, are really the only team in the A-League who've actually started bringing through some really, really handy young players. So just out of nowhere at the start of this year, they brought through a striker called Alhassan Toure, who's since been spearheading the Oli Roos attack to get Australia to the Olympics for the first time in about 12 years. So he's come on sort of, you know, he's about 18, I think, so he's sort of been playing a bit. They've got a bloke who's playing in holding midfield behind the 22-year-old Roland Gurry called Louis Dorigo, who I think is 17. They've just had the youngest goal scorer in A-League history has come off the bench in the last couple of weeks. Mark, you would have seen him live, who's Alassane Toure's younger brother, Mohamed Toure, who's 15, and bagged himself a goal in the A-League. So just sort of looking at, from the last pod where I've sort of gone, well, there's not that much exciting Australian talent coming through. I'd just like to sort of, you know, give a shout out to a couple of those players and sort of say that they, you know, perhaps there are some players coming through, and it'd be great if we could maybe get some people from Adelaide to actually turn up for the national meetups and sort of have a chat with us about it.
Yeah, the black hole that is Adelaide in more ways than one, a few would argue, but they certainly
leave
us.
Maybe that's why they don't turn up.
They're certainly leaving us out in the dark in relation to, well, everything Crystal Palace supporter group wise. Still debating on whether we're going to make an assault on their fair city this year for the national meetup, which we'll inform them about on Facebook sort of maybe 24 or 48 hours prior. Yeah, you're right, Ned. Yeah, those young guns from Adelaide ripping up trees at the moment. The younger Toure brother, who you claim I would have seen live. I just want to reiterate again, drink had been taken.
Yeah, fair. I'll be doing the same in about 2 weeks, so I'll be too drunk to see him play as well.
I'll take your word for it that he went all right, mate. So we had a few boys out for that the other week, which was cool. We got a good little crew to do the double here. Tim Phillips, friend of the show, and one of your boys from down in Sydney there, made an appearance for the Everton game and run into his old man at the Raw game and a few of the other lads. So nice little impromptu meet-up for us. We don't generally get together in good numbers up here because a lot of the guys are... our family men and, you know, can't go out in the Terps at 1 a.m. on a Sunday morning to watch the misery that is Crystal Palace. But back to news on our shores here. My club, the Brisbane Roar, managed by God, Robbie Fowler. He's come to the fore. We've won four out of our last five. Our only defeat, 1-0 against Sydney, who are doing the A-League version of Liverpool this season. They're 40 from a possible 45 points. So they're no mugs. So to get down 1-0 to them, not bad. Couple of young kids still running around for us that Robbie's shown some faith in, which is good. And, yeah, not too bad. I actually see Palace-related... is it Ian Dowie's daughter or niece, Natasha, at Victory, Ned?
We've done this. Dale's done this before.
Niece. No, but she scored a couple of weeks ago, so she's getting on the score sheet, which is good. A bit of a Palace connection there. And I just want to mention our girls here at the moment. We've just got through our Olympic qualifying stage, one more game to go, home and away against Vietnam to qualify for the Olympics, as have done the men. We played very well there, steamrolled who we had to, late clutch goal against China for us to top the group, and the girls are doing really well at the moment. You know, paddle off a couple of teams that the girls are playing for these days. We've already mentioned we've got Sam Kerr at Chelsea, Caitlin Ford just signed for Arsenal, Chloe Legazzo is at Bristol City, Hayley Rasso, Brisbane Roar girl, is at Everton, Jacinta has a hell of a last name that I'm not going to try and pronounce. She's at West Ham, Lisa Devanna, she's at Fiorentina. We've got Alex Shidiak, Atletico Madrid, and Emily, going at Bayern Munich.
I'll just throw a grenade at that. You reel that off, it sounds impressive. Yeah. Should you be drawing 1-0 at home with China?
No. we were very poor in that game.
And you should be beating Chinese Taipei 7-0. The real test, you guys should qualify for every Olympics, every World Cup, and the real test comes, I'm not being rude, is not to bottle it at the major tournament.
Yeah, I'd agree completely with that. Well, I mean, I think the thing is with major tournaments and the Australian Football Federation over here, who tend to absolutely kill us whenever we go to a major tournament by just destroying the manager. I think it's now 5 World Cups in a row, men's and women's, that we've changed the manager within 6 months leading up to the tournament. Yeah. So I would put a bit less of that on the players
and
more of that on the upper management. I think I don't like the fact that the current coach is the guy who's going to be taking over the new A-League team next year, and I think he's a bit distracted by that. I don't think he was the right appointment at the time when there was old saga.
Stadge.
Sort of went on with Alan Stadjic, which you can look up if you want, but it was one of the most poorly handled
removals of a coach I've ever seen in my life. And on the Palace fan, we've sort of, you know, been fairly average with coaches and that sort of thing in the past. But so I think that definitely hasn't helped. I also think the fact that all of the European nations have suddenly started to wake up to European football. So yeah. I think it's only, this is probably our last real chance with the group we've got at the moment to win anything. Because I think by the time they go away, all the other big footballing nations will, you know, the traditional football powerhouses will be powerhouses in both the men's and women's games, and we'll be off back into obscurity,
yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll take your point, Dale. You can only beat what's in front of you.
Of course.
And, you know, those teams that are prattled off 15 years ago, mate, that was the men's team. Yeah. And playing for those clubs.
True.
That don't exist now. We got two guys getting a gig every week in the Premier League, both unfortunately playing for Brighton, which just destroys my soul week in, week out. But that's it. Apart from that, you know, it's Cup and Championship, League One, and, you know, Matt Leckie is not getting a gig in the Bundesliga and some guys spattered here or there. So my point being was, you know, all these European clubs, they got a lot of cattle to pick from. So to come over to our shores and handpick these girls, yeah. I think is a testament to them. Ned's right. This country is run in an appalling manner. By FFA or whoever even runs it now. I don't even know who's in charge of the A-League. Apparently the clubs are independently. So given that and the money and the facilities for those girls knocking about in clubs like that, for that money, curse on a $2 million contract, I think is outstanding. We were not topping the group and looking to play South Korea for the final qualification to get to the Olympics. Van Egmond clutch goal with like the 60 seconds left of 4 minutes of injury time outside the box, puts it in the net. We topped the group with like more plus seven goals ahead of China. Job done. Bring on Vietnam, who we should beat. Yes, 6-0 at home.
Well, yeah.
Calvert.
What are your thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I appear to have missed all those games. Not sure what I was doing. Incredible. I didn't see the late equaliser because it was on the news. I happened to be watching, but well, with all joking aside, it's very impressive where the ladies are playing. How many are over in Europe playing over there? I know it's definitely the strong point of Australian football at the moment is the women's game with the way they're going and the players they've got. So it's always nice to see. The W League isn't that well. It's from what I saw, isn't that well attended. But a lot of those girls play W League and go straight over and play in America. So they play a lot of football. They play a lot of football. It's pretty good. And with the guys, Adelaide guys, Hobart 2020. If you want to see Robert Seltzer in the flesh, you know, Trevor. Robert.
We want them to turn up, Rob. We're not.
Who is Rob Seltzer?
Robert Seltzer on tour. There you go. And that. All right.
You promised.
I did, man.
I
did. Don't you worry, it's in. Now you're going to change it to Adelaide last minute, it won't be able to go. Right, it's a moment that everyone, all 13 people on this pod have been waiting for.
Joel Viet.
Congratulations, Ned, you win.
Yes.
All right. You lazy bastards. Here we go. First clue on the Australian Paris player. And I've completely lost the web page. I'm going to have to feel while I get this web page back. Here we go.
We're nothing if not professional here at Exiled Eagles.
Mate, we
take your time, mate. We've still got the Dale/Optus sizzle to come after this, so we can save it with that.
So maybe if I do a quite easy clue, we can get straight to that, because I am keen to hear what's going on. I hope it's not a really upsetting breakup, because that will hurt
exciting.
Me.
Of course not.
Well, we've built it up now, Dale, so it's got a lot to live up to.
It better be exciting, Dale. All right. It's been built really up.
Not. So this player has played 32 European games in the UEFA or the UEFA Cup or the Champions League.
32?
Mm-hmm.
Craig Moore.
Okay.
He's got it.
No. Fuck. I was thinking Craig Moore. That's too obvious.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm never winning this game again. I only know like three that of these answers that it could possibly be.
Well, like, two of them. I'm not going to lie, fellas. This, before, I completely forgot to do this. So up until about
5 minutes before I came on this pod, it was going to be Calvert. So.
Was it really Craig Moore?
Yeah.
Then, who did he play?
Then it happened.
32.
And you know, an interesting, fact on Craig Moore. Obviously, we signed him from Rangers and we went into administration. And we applied to the powers that be for special dispensation to sell him back to Rangers for money. We needed cash. And that was actually against the law at the time to sell a player back to a club you bought him from in the same season.
There you go.
Of course it was.
Yeah. He was class. He was a classy little player.
Yeah, good player.
Interesting Craig Moore fact. Obviously came out here in his twilight and marshalled our defence at the Brisbane Roar for a couple of years, and I got to meet him the night I was down at the Gold Coast seeing Billy Connolly. He was in front of me lining up for an ATM.
Yeah, very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, and then I didn't know it was him, and he turned around and I looked at him, he looked at me, smiled, said, Craig. He's like, fuck, Mark, what are you doing here? And we shook hands and hugged. That last bit might have been bullshit, but said g'day, nice enough chap, give me the time of day, which is more than a lot of people less famous than him do.
Mark, can you confirm this? Was he the one that was responsible at Brisbane at the time who got fired because the kits in the Champions League had all the names peeling off at the back?
No, that was only recently, mate. That was, what an embarrassment that was.
I could have sworn he was the one that copped the blame for that. Anyway, moving on.
No, that was, they tried to tape like 22 and then it ended up being 77 and then 71.
In the Champions League, yeah.
yeah, Asian Champions League. Now, that was only just last season. That was the Frenchman who was quite talented, but got the chop once Fowler came along.
As in, I thought he was the one responsible for.
Oh, beg your pardon.
And that's why I thought he got the arse for that. But anyway. I feel we might be digressing at this stage.
Sorry, Ned. I was thinking of the player in question with the shitty numbers. Yeah, he was in charge of that. And then he was sent on, gardening leave? Gardening duties?
Yeah.
So. Never to be seen again. Yeah, what an embarrassment. What an embarrassing night.
I bet you think that's where this would end up, Rob.
Exactly. I was hoping, the Pritt stick on the back of the shirt story would come up for the Champions League. Well done, Dale. Craig Moore it was. I'm pretty pleased myself I didn't choose Kyle Veit, so you're very lucky there. When it comes back to me in about a year's time, because by that time we'd have done probably three other pods, it'll probably be my turn again. It will probably be Kyle Veit. So heads up. Dale.
Now, more importantly, Optus. And to finish on a high.
Wow. What's going on?
So you might not have noticed, boys, there's been no fan bans recently. A new person at the top of Optus has come in and has put the kibosh on fan bans.
No.
So you've killed it.
Well,
that's all I'm hearing.
It actually got kiboshed the week after Rob started telling everyone on the podcast how much Optus were paying me and how I was Lord Dale and had some stupid contract. So thanks, Elps.
Hey, I'm not the one that's got the direct line to the CEO that you have. Nah, just give him a call and say, I want to be doing fan bets again, mate. It's Dale. And then you get it open again.
Nah, they have said that they're just reviewing everything with cost and hopefully it will come back, but who knows. And I was really looking forward to being on fan bets for Palace Brighton next to Steve.
That would have been fantastic.
Of course,
that was the only news. It wasn't that exciting.
Guys, can we just take just a moment for fan bans? Thank you. Well observed. Well observed. all right, fellas, that was a bit of a bumper pod because obviously we only pod every 6 to 8 weeks when we can actually be bothered to get in, sit down, and actually do this. Jesus. Dale, I mean, actually, quick question, Dale. When are you gonna have another member of the family rolling about originally initially?
34 days,
mate.
Oh,
yeah.
You'll be pleading for us to pod.
I think we've got one pod in us beforehand.
We have to.
You'll be pleading for us to pod every other day when it happens.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, it just leads me to say, because it, like, I haven't said it for a while and I feel like we have to
rate us 5 stars on anything you any podcast app you listen to us to. I don't know if you can, but rate us 5 stars.
Somebody rate us five stars.
If you can't, don't. But if you can, do. There we go. There's my plea.
Please.
Dale, Sir Optus Quarty, very sorry to hear everything, but pleasure to have you on.
No worries. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, Mark, keep that shirt off. It's nice. It's a nice look.
Thanks, mate. I'm glad someone appreciates it.
Ned, the corner of your head has been spectacular all pod.
Well, it's better than seeing the whole thing, let's be honest.
Very, very well said. You turned on me. And guys, thank you very much for listening. We have been the Exiled Eagles. Oh, apologies. No, we have a game against the Liverpool Supporters Club, if you're around, on Sunday, I believe, at UNSW. It's raising money for the bushfire appeal. So anyone that can get down there and put a gold coin or a note in there would be very much appreciated for the devastating fires that have affected the country over the last few months. And next month...
Of course.
Is it next month that the Bradley Lowry...
No, Bradley Lowry Cup at the ground near me. Seymour Shore, that's it.
See, that's next month. That's next month, isn't it?
Next month, yeah.
Yeah, so check the Sydney, CPFC Sydney Facebook page or message Jimmy Fletcher directly if you're interested in being in that. He used the best word. It is a slobber knocker of a day with us, Sunderland, Man U, and one other team to be confirmed. Is it Watford?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so it's us, Man U, Sunderland, and Watford. Down at Seymour Shore, be a great day again, raising money for a great cause. So please, if you can, get down there. If the play would be much appreciated because we're all unfit, fit and rubbish. If not, come down, watch, buy some beers, spend some money, and let's put some good money to the charity. So yes, I am going to let you all bug. I am going to let you go now. So thank you very much for listening. 5 stars, all that. Roy out, up the palace.